CBS Eye on the World, I'm John Batzler. China, the economy. The word rebound is routine in headlines. China's economy looks set for a rebound in 2023, reports Market Watch. But, says Market Watch, a lot depends on one variable. I welcome Gordon Chang, at Gordon G. Chang, my colleague and co-host. The variables are legion. And we welcome Ann Stevenson Yang, who is the author of a book that we're looking forward to the updating new edition, China Alone, Return to Isolation. Ann, a very good evening to you. Thank you for this. The but, rebound but, where is the unknown in China's economy right now? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. So I think what Crane Shares is talking about is the consumer, but I also think that there's a major issue in consumption in China that people tend to forget, which is that it has always been driven by investment, not by actual, you know, income or savings by the consumer. So when consumers get money for land they're selling, when they get money in the property market, when they get money from the stock market, then that's been a windfall that they've spent on consumption. And that sort of thing is not happening anymore.
Not happening right now, or has been not happening for some time, and we're paying attention to it because of this rebound word?
Essentially, since the property crash, it hasn't, in 2020, it hasn't been happening. If you compare the year 2015, when the property market also declined, there was a sort of lockstep decline in consumption, and that is why, because China really does not provide sort of equal time for consumers, or, you know, a big portion of the GDP to consumers. What it does provide is capital to consumers, and that's gone away.
Gordon, you have a question for Ann.
Ann, Michael Pettis of Peking University makes the point that the Chinese economy, as it's presently configured, favors investment, which means that, for instance, the state keeps deposit rates low at banks in order to permit the investment into high-speed rail lines and buildings and the rest of it. That, he argues, depresses consumption because it means people don't have as much money as they normally would have if deposit rates were free. If you could comment on that.
Yeah, that's always been the case. There was a period in the high growth times when deposit rates rose, not at the state banks, but through platforms like Alibaba's and Tencent's investment platforms. But that also has declined, and China has gone back to its old strategy of low deposit rates and high lending rates to SOEs so that the banks make a spread.
And again, I want to go back to this idea that the consumer is critical. I've always understood over the years that the consumer market is the dream, the utopia, that someday the consumers will be empowered the way the U.S. consumers are empowered. Is that a realistic dream, that version? Are they moving towards it, or is this the world of the future? It's subordinate to the state-controlled manufacturing.
Yeah, I think very clearly the history of the Chinese economy has shown that the consumer is the last priority in policy, and the top priority is state-owned industry. I think that people are making this mistake this year because there's been a lockdown, and last year consumption declined, and therefore consumption definitely will grow this year compared with a negative base last year. It's just not the same as it would be if we were talking about a Western economy.
And it's not shopping that they do then. It's the private individual investing in things or buying necessaries, because we love to shop. I believe the last time I checked, we're 70%. Shopping is 70% of our GDP. That's a dream that's out of reach for China. Is that correct?
No, I mean, Chinese people shop plenty. Automobiles, for example, are a very large part of the the monthly consumption numbers that they publish. And Chinese people buy a ton of stuff online. They're going to go out to restaurants this year. They're going to travel this year. So it's not a fantasy. It's just a smaller proportion by far of the economy than it is in the West.
Gordon, you have a question.
So, Anne, you talked about property as sort of being an optimism creator, which then encourages people to go out and spend. What's your prognosis for the Chinese property market this year?
There's a little bit more extend and pretend because the banks have extended a lot of loans to developers at the beginning of the year. But that doesn't mean that the property market is going to revive. And also, Gordon, I don't think it's just confidence. I think it's that you had a period when your average Chinese, I mean, think of an average Chinese rural person who raises, let's say, barley in Hebei province. And maybe that person's cash income every year is, let's say, $10,000, right? And then all of a sudden, the government of the local town comes along and says, oh, we're going to give you $50,000 for this large piece of land, and we're going to ask you to move into a high rise. So the farmer thinks, oh, that's great. And he takes 10 of it and he spends it at casinos and stuff, and he puts the rest in the bank or in investment products. That's what's been happening with China for the last over a decade, since 2009. And that's what's not happening anymore.
The recession that hasn't arrived yet here in the United States, and there's talk in Europe that maybe they can avoid a recession. Is that determinative of China's rebound, that we emerge from our recession, that Europe avoids one, or are they independent of those concerns?
I think that there are a lot of advantages that Europe and the United States have. For example, they both had subsidy programs for consumers who were stuck at home in COVID times. China never did that. So Western consumers had a lot of pent up cash to spend once the lockdowns ended and they went out and spent it. Chinese people, not so much. They will start to travel a little and there'll be a bump, but for a month or so, but I think that it will fade quickly.
So no magic formula then. They're in decline. They're close to what we would call a contraction. And the way to work out of this is what, Anne? Do they have a remedy that they've used in the past?
Well, what they really need to do is reform the economy and allow the private sector to grow. And that's really kind of the last thing that they're going to do. It's an interesting dilemma because ever since China opened up and reformed its economy in 1979, the party has been telling people, well, we just have to make decisions ad hoc. We don't know which direction we're going, but, we're providing growth. That was okay when they were providing growth, but when they're not, you kind of have to define what you're doing.
Gordon, we have about a minute for a question.
So, Anne, you said that reform is the last thing the government's going to do. Why?
Well, that's because in our political system, the constituents that matter are individuals. And so the government needs to respond in some sense to what individuals want. Obviously, there are a lot of distortions in that. In the Chinese political system, the constituents are party branches in state-owned enterprises. They're entities. And those are the entities that need to be taken care of, not individuals.
Anne Stephenson Yang is the author of the upcoming new edition, China Alone, Return to Isolation. Gordon Chang, writing at Gatestone Newsweek and The Hill. At Gordon G. Chang is the Twitter address. I'm John Bash.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.